Good Thursday evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Kobos Insurance Center Thursday Wrestling Recap. It's presented by Ohio Family Realty, Tim Elkhorn from AM 930 WEOL, and each and every Thursday night right here on AM 930, I'm joined by Sean Bennett from the Chronicle Telegram, CT's beat writer, out there covering all the action on the mats week in and week out. And of course, week in and week out, right here at 6 o'clock on Thursday, we get together with you to talk about high school wrestling, not only in Lorain County, but throughout the Northeast Ohio area. Sean, as always, great to be with you. And of course, as you mentioned last week, kind of into this January grind. Boy, it's hard to believe this is our last show here in the month of January. When we get together next week, we'll already be into February. But certainly some things to talk about here tonight on our wrestling recap.
Yeah, this is the kind of the point of the season where the focus goes away from those weekend tournaments, and they start the teams start doing wrapping up their conference dual season. We just started the OHSA dual team tournament first rounds. Conference tournaments are right around the corner, and then obviously that stretch run to get prepared for the postseason.
We're going to hear from Keystone head coach Chris Vondruska a little bit later on during the course of the program, and not to steal a question from him per se, but what do you think coaches are looking for now as we get to the end of January with February and tournament time right around the corner?
Well, I think right now the obvious theme this week was getting everybody healthy. Not just injuries, resting up those injuries, because, guys get banged up over the course of the season. But for some reason, there just seems to be a monster flu epidemic. Lorain had kind of had to pull out of the state duels because they had a skin infection go rampant through their team.
I heard about that. Yeah.
So I'm just, all kinds of, issues at this point of the season. The winter, we're back to cold weather, Ohio, with its crazy weather. We're back to snow and sleet. So, illness is pretty common around this time of the period. So everybody's just trying to get both injuries rested up and get that, the flus and all that stuff out of the kids' systems.
Yeah, a lot to talk about between now and whenever we finish. We just have the luxury of going as long as we want tonight here on our Kobos Insurance Center Thursday Wrestling Recap. Again, it's presented by Ohio Family Realty, Tim Elkhorn, along with Sean Bennett. We'll take a quick time out on the show. When we come back, we'll take a look at what happened last weekend. Plenty to talk about, so stay with us. And we're glad you're with us on the Kobos Insurance Center Wrestling Recap, presented by Ohio Family Realty. And we're glad to bring it to you on AM 930 WEOL. Maybe you're listening on your phone with the WEOL mobile app. That's a great way to dial in. Or you can also listen online at WEOL.com. Great to have you back on the weekly wrestling recap right here on AM 930 WEOL. And of course, each and every Thursday night, our recap show brought to you by the Kobos Insurance Center and Ohio Family Realty. Tim Elkhorn, along with Sean Bennett from the Chronicle Telegram. Sean covers the wrestling beat for the CT a little bit later on in the show. Perhaps we'll get a preview from Sean as to what's coming up in his Friday wrestling column. But tonight it's Thursday, so we're talking about not only action coming up this weekend, but a quick look back at what happened on the mats last week and last weekend. And Sean, as we talked about a week ago tonight, there was a lot going on. And let's start over at Western Reserve, the Terry Monroe Invitational, Brookside Clearview, and the Elyria White team was over there. Give us a quick recap as to what transpired.
We only had a couple events last week, so this was one of the ones that a lot of our local teams seem to go to every year. Brookside has been going to this, I think, for at least 3 or 4 years now, and obviously been doing well and did well again this year. They finished winning the team championship out of a 10-team field, had 8 placers, multiple champions, as you can see. David Ocasio won the 113-pound title. Returning state qualifier Brad Hune won at 120. And Greg Packard, who I think just improved to 31-0 last night at the state duels.
Wow.
Champion at 220. So it's got to be kind of nice to go in and know you're have a chance at pretty much every tournament you enter there.
I tell you what, when you're unbeaten at 32-0, you're putting together a very special campaign. Obviously, Greg Packard, a pretty special wrestler over at Brookside.
Yeah, and he's beat some good names. He's not just beating guys you've never heard of. He's beaten I saw some wins early in the season. And I was pretty impressed with some of the names he was knocking off. And Greg Packard's been a good wrestler at Brookside for a while. It's just this year he's really kind of had that breakthrough. Blockbuster season, so he's definitely kind of making a name for himself, and I think he's got a real shot of maybe potentially joining Brad down in Columbus this year. Brad went last year to the state tournament, so Brookside ended that long, like, three-decade drought to get a guy down to Columbus. This year they might end a multiple. I don't know how long it's been since Brookside sent more than one guy, but
they bring your book with you.
No, and I don't know even if I would know that. That's probably been so long. That was a long time ago. So.
And a couple of second places for Brookside as well. Jack Talento, second at 152. Matt Thompson, second at 182. So for Clearview, fourth out of 10 teams, but they had a champion in J.D. McCardle at 285.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable, too. He's just, he's obviously the coach's son, Tom McCardle. He definitely... has been on my radar. I think he was in the honor roll most of last year and has been a guy that I know, but wow, he's just been like blowing through the competition as well. I think he might still be undefeated or only have one loss as well. I think he went 9-0 last weekend at that tournament. Just another really outstanding kind of making a name for himself type of kid this year.
And of course, Elyria sent some wrestlers over there as well.
Yeah, and that Elyria White team, and that's a good thing about, like, Elyria, I think Midview and Lorain. Some of these Division I schools have so many kids in their program where they have these secondary varsity teams, and it's kind of serves twofold. One, it allows some guys to see varsity competition. These are guys that probably, especially like at Elyria, would probably be on a varsity lineup at another school. But Elyria's like top varsity lineup is so packed that, very, very good wrestlers can't make that lineup. So this varsity lineup allows that. The other thing I like about these second varsity teams is sometimes a top varsity guy maybe gets injured early in the season and misses 3-4 weeks or something with shoulder, leg injury or something.
Create some depth.
Right. Well, the second varsity lineup will go wrestle a schedule that these guys who have missed maybe a dozen matches can then go and join the secondary varsity and kind of make up some matches and build their resume and build their conditioning for the end of the season.
That's very cool. Let's move on. The Jim Solomon Memorial over at Firelands. Of course, Jim Solomon, a legendary figure as far as high school wrestling here in Lorain County. Boy, Midview went over there and did very, very well. A lot of champions out of the Midview Middies who finished first out of 8 teams.
Yeah, it's nice to know we had 2 basic tournaments that our area teams competed in this weekend, and area teams won the team title at both. Midview kind of went in there and blew out the competition. Not surprising with the lineup that Midview has, although kind of surprising because if you've been following Midview recently, they're very, very shorthanded right now. 3 or 4 guys out of the lineup. As you notice, Alec Ferrer, the returning state qualifier for that team, not in the lineup. He's been out of action for about 2 weeks, kind of nursing an injury. They're just more preventative, I think. I think if he had to wrestle, he maybe could, but I think they just kind of want to rest him up for the matches that count, quote unquote. But yeah, you're right. I don't know if I've ever seen a team go into a tournament and win that many individual titles. Zach Anderson at 113, Andrew Filion at 126, Cameron Honus at 145, Trevor Began at 152, Seth Frombach at 182, Spencer Berthold at 220, and Evan Keese at the heavyweight spot, all won weight class championships, which is, pretty jaw-dropping.
And, of course, the host team, Firelands, they finished second, although Peyton Bergdorf, champion at 106, and Patrick Keown, champion at 160.
Yeah, and those two guys obviously have been getting it done all season long, Peyton being a freshman, and Patrick's been getting it done for years since he transferred from the Cincinnati area up to Firelands a couple years ago. And then, obviously, a couple blockbuster matches at the top there was DJ Childers has got, I think he's like 25-30 match win. Him and Spencer Berthold matched up for that 220 title, and obviously Spencer won that. And then Sean Lipscomb, who's on Team Ohio wrestling all summer in the freestyle, national duels and things like that, matched up against Keese from Midview in the heavyweight final. So that's two nice blockbuster matches for those people who went over to the Firelands tournament to watch.
And quickly to close out the Jim Solomon Memorial over at Firelands, actually at South Amherst Middle School, as you said, Lorraine 5th out of 8 and Avon Lake 7th out of 8. Anything that jumped out from the Titans and or the Shoremen?
Well, obviously there was three champions among those two teams, and two of them, Brando Incherigy and Tucker McKinley from Avon Lake, Brando from Lorraine. I really don't know those wrestlers very well, so they kind of came out and won championships and kind of made a name for themselves, because those guys aren't normally on the list. They're not in the honor rolls. I don't know if Brando's actually wrestled in the varsity lineup. They're really, like I said, they've got the skin thing going on. They've had some depth issues and things like that. The other champion was Aaron Huff at 195. Very significant because Aaron Huff has been out of the lineup for a while. They weren't sure what his status was going to be heading into this stretch run. So it's nice to see that he's kind of back from an injury, rehabbing. And he jumped from 182 to 195, possibly because he had that layoff and the weight cut to 182 might be tough. He also has decided that that's where he wants to stay. So I did find out from Mark Most that Aaron Huff will be staying at 195 for sectionals, which is kind of surprising. He was state ranked at 182. At 195, though, he might be able to go up there. And a lot of people think that might be an area where he might actually do better, because the top end of that is a little bit thinner on the statewide level.
That's quite a jump, though, isn't it?
It is, but, I mean, a lot of times these guys are chopping down 15, 20 pounds, so he might be walking around, at about 200, 195 anyway, so it might be now just a little weight cut, whereas before he was, doing significant work throughout the course of the week to get down to 182.
All right, let's talk about the OHSAA dual team tournament. Plenty here on the sheet to review before we close out the segment.
Yeah, and I'm really happy with the Chronicles' commitment to this event. We really, in my opinion, did a great job on this last night. Myself, I was at the Elyria site. Brad Bourneville covered the site at Wadsworth. Dan Gillis was out at Perkins and Sandusky covering the Division II site. So we had three stories on individual sites, and then we actually put a roundup together with about seven more box scores or from different events like that. So altogether, all of Lorain County teams that competed in the event last night got coverage, and we had a full inside page in Thursday's paper and today's paper. So that was pretty nice to see that we were able to kind of go out there and show. Now, unfortunately, Elyria is the only team still standing. Everybody else kind of got eliminated, but I mean, in some of these sites, they played three rounds. So we had a lot of teams that won a match and then unfortunately just lost a match before they could continue.
I do want to say, though, again, kudos to the CT as I went through the paper this morning, the sports section, just loaded up with wrestling coverage. I mean, that's what covering local high school sports and covering that local wrestling beat, as you and Brad and Dan do, I mean, that's what it's all about. Great, great job.
Yeah, if you like local sports, high school sports, there always tends to be a lot in there. I mean, there besides the wrestling, there was lots of, we had a story on the new Elyria football coach. We had a lot of things, late breaking, stuff like that. And obviously, I know you tweeted that out, so that was a good, kudos to you. I think I even gave you a credit for that in the story.
So. I think so. Let's move on.
Yeah. But I am kind of happy with the paper's commitment to high school sports, wrestling and football and some of the stuff I cover. But then even outside, we do the bowling, every sport the OHSA pretty much commits to, we do as well.
It's amazing. It really is. All right, we're going to take a quick time out on our Thursday wrestling recap. It's brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center as well as Ohio Family Realty. When we come back, the head coach at Keystone, Chris Vondruska, is going to join us. We'll talk a little bit about the Wildcat wrestling program. I mentioned to Sean earlier, must be Keystone weekend here on WEOL. We're talking Keystone wrestling tonight. We've got their boys basketball game Friday night, their girls basketball game on Saturday. So we're talking Keystone here on WEOL. That's a good thing. Stay with us. We'll come back right after this on the Cobos Insurance Center Thursday Wrestling Recap, presented by Ohio Family Realty. Glad to bring it to you on AM 930 WEOL. On your phone, download the WEOL mobile app or online at WEOL.com. We welcome you back. It's the Thursday Wrestling Recap, brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Ohio Family Realty. Glad to bring it to you each and every Thursday night, right here on AM 930 WEOL on your phone. Download that WEOL mobile app and also online at WEOL.com. Tim Elkhorn from AM 930 WEOL, Sean Bennett from the Chronicle-Telegram. Sean each and every week joins us here on AM 930. And, of course, you can read all about wrestling in Lorain County in Northeast Ohio as Sean covers that beat like nobody else. And we're glad to have him with us on AM 930 WEOL. We're also glad to have with us this week on our wrestling recap the head wrestling coach at Keystone High School, Chris Vondruska, as he now joins us on the phone line. Coach, great to have you with us on AM 930. Thanks for stopping by.
Hey, really appreciate you having me.
Let's take a moment or two and just talk about Keystone Wrestling overall before we delve into particulars, just to kind of bring our listeners up to date as far as how your team is doing, and then any particular individuals that you'd like to point out as we get to the end of January here tonight.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. We're about 500 in pack. We got two important duels tonight with Columbia and Oberlin that'll help us stay at that 500 level. And we got a bunch of guys with good records. I think we have four guys with four losses or under. So that's pretty good. Jarrett Bender at 132. We have Justin Ockletree at 182, David McCullough 195. And then our star senior on our team is Garrett Coe's having a really good year, only two losses on his record.
Hey, Coach, we'll kind of talk about last night, since it's fresh in your mind, probably the OHSA dual team tournament. Keystone, obviously, always going to be one of the Lorain County bullet points when it comes to this tournament, because Keystone was the first team to ever make it to the state tournament in the event. Talk about last night's events. I know you guys opened with a big win over Cloverleaf in the first duel, and then went up against top-seeded Bay in the second duel. Your kind of thoughts on the first two rounds?
I tell you what, yeah, that event's fun. You know, anytime you're in the playoffs or any sport, it gets a little bit more interesting. You know, people, Cavs fans from around the world come out of the woodwork when the Cavs were in the playoffs this year. So the playoffs are fun. We're definitely going to do it every year. And last year, we didn't get to get a win. So getting a win this year against Cloverleaf was really big. I don't know if you looked at the box scores, but we won every individual matchup, and we only lost forfeits. So it was incredible, and it was really fun to be a part of. We had to move around some guys because we only have 10 guys on our team. We only wrestled 9 last night, and they all got to get their hand raised. It was fun.
And I did look at those box scores, and I kind of noticed, obviously, I was looking for guys who had won or wrestled twice and won twice, and saw mm-hmm. that both Cody Foster and Garrett Coe had done that. I also noticed that they both wrestled at different weights. Cody started at 145 in the first, bumped up to 152. Coe started at 152, bumped up to 160. As a coach, can you kind of talk about that strategy of potentially moving guys, bumping weights? I know people know it happens in the wrestling community, but can you kind of talk about what goes into the thinking of when you need to move a guy up? I know the strategy has to do with who gets presented first and things like that.
Right. Yeah, it's a delicate situation, and the first thing you have to do as a coach is get your team to trust you, that you're making the best decisions for the team. And I'm fortunate enough to have, guys like Garrett. Garrett just, he'll do whatever you ask him. And that's the first step, And then the second step is me figuring it out. And Jim Pycraft and Jimmy Pycraft and I sit down and we try to figure out the best way to win the duel. And there's a little bit of strategy, when they go out there for the coin flip. We decide what matches that we want them to show and what matches that we don't really care about. So we get that out or even choice and then go out there. But, for that first duel, having Garrett go out there against the 52-pounder, in Cloverleaf and Bay, they're both teams that are going to be in our sectional tournament. So I wanted to get a look at a really good 52-pounder from Cloverleaf. And so I wanted to get that head-to-head matchup, and we weren't able to wrestle all 10 guys on our team, but that head-to-head matchup was big for me, and we learned a little bit from that, and we learned that Garrett's pretty good. So
again, we're talking. Sorry about that, Coach. Did I cut you off there?
No, you're good.
Sorry about that. Again, we're talking with Chris Vondruska. He's the head wrestling coach over at Keystone High School. And Chris, I raised this question to Sean Bennett during our opening segment tonight, and I'll throw it out at you insofar as, boy, it's hard to believe this is the final Thursday night here in the month of January. I mean, we're going to be turning the calendar into February. That's hard to believe. But take a moment or two and tell the WEOL listeners, what's your goals and what do you like to accomplish now and what are you looking for from your wrestlers with February right around the corner? Does that turn in the calendar change your thinking at all as you get ready for the month of February now?
Absolutely. Yeah, time flies when you're having fun, right? You know, yeah. That month of February is super, super important. And this year we have the PAC tournament on February 4th. Which is obviously big. You know, our seniors, they have goals and they want to finish top three in the pack or you know, win the pack individually, and I want to help them achieve their goals. But, you know, we have 2 weekends off, so 3 full weeks, 21 days of training in there before the sectional tournament, which, you know, in my book, it's the most important tournament of the year. So we go back to Brookside again on the 25th for sectionals, and you know, I got a good training plan already for them for sectionals, and then after we get out of sectionals, we gotta get ready for districts and go to the state tournament. Hopefully, with 3 or 4 guys.
And Coach Sean mentioned everybody's looking just to get healthy at this time of year. Same scenario with your team.
Knock on wood, we're healthy right now. Yeah, I mean,
good.
it seems that at Keystone, I got you know, 3 kids out each day for throwing up and one has the, you know, the sniffles and, you know, whatever. So that stuff is going around. We're very aware of it. And yeah, we're lucky to stay out of that. We do have some guys with, you know, dings and bruises and stuff like that. But overall, I think by, you know, that's an advantage of having that 3-week break. I think every team should be healthy, yeah. You know, in the pack at least, because we have that 3-week break and we don't have any competitions in there. So, you know, we're going to train and we're going to scrimmage and stuff like that. But, you know, if somebody's, you know, banged up, they can sit for a week and run, you know, or do some running and lifting and or other stuff and take a little bit of time off the mat, and then they'll still be geared up, ready to go by sectionals.
There you go. Chris, we appreciate you joining us here on our weekly wrestling show on WEOL. As you said, your kids are on the mats tonight. So best of luck there. And then obviously, as we get into the month of February, as we just alluded to, we wish you and that Wildcat program the best of success. But we appreciate you spending a few moments with us tonight.
Well, thanks for having me, and I appreciate all you guys. You keep up the good work.
All right, thank you, Chris. Chris Vondruska, the head wrestling coach at Keystone, as he joins us here on the program. Sean Bennett, before we close this one out, as far as this week's edition of our recap, boy, it doesn't look like a whole lot's going on this weekend. Tell us real quickly as far as action on the mats is concerned.
Yeah, just like I said, kind of they kind of start, the focus kind of goes away from those weekend tournaments, so there aren't a lot of them, but the Cy Penner Memorial at Elyria, they've been holding this for years. I think it used to be just a JV tournament, and they've kind of opened it up, and several teams go there. Elyria White team, which is their secondary varsity team, hosts it, but Brookside, Lorain, we have a couple of Lorain County guys on Lutheran West, they'll be at there, all out of Elyria on Saturday. And then also a tournament I found out about just recently, Chris, that we were just talking to, kind of keyed me in that Elyria Catholic and Keystone will be at the West Holmes Invitational on Saturday. So that's why I hand wrote that in there. You didn't probably even see it.
Shh, it's radio.
Yes.
People can't see that I can't see it.
And obviously the other big event next week will be Elyria, like I said, did advance to their to the regional semifinals in the dual team tournament. And they've done that every year since that. This is the 5th year of this event. They've advanced to the semifinals every year. They've advanced to the finals for the last 4 years, and they've advanced to the state tournament for the last 2 years. So they're looking to kind of keep all that going. So they'll be out at Wadsworth, or they'll be facing Wadsworth out in Perrysburg next Wednesday night.
All right, and before we close up shop, you mentioned, boy, the paper or the Chronicle was full of some wrestling news and stories today. What do you got tomorrow?
Well, I spent most of my time kind of working on the usual stuff, the honor rolls and all the tournament results. So as far as the like kind of my lead note where I usually do something different, it's going to be a surprise for the listeners, because it's going to be a surprise for me. I have not yet come across something, so I'm going to try to get creative tonight as I'm putting the finishing touches on that, and we'll kind of do something fun, or we'll look for something to kind of entertain the readers.
See, journalism 101, don't ask a question if you don't know what the answer is going to be. So Sean's going to work on that.
That's right.
But something tells me it'll be something good in tomorrow's CT as far as that wrestling column is concerned. All right, Mr. Bennett. Boy, that one flew by.
Yeah.
Good show.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Appreciate you spending some time with us. Look forward to talking again next Thursday right here on AM 930 WEOL. Again, a huge thank you goes out to Keystone Head Wrestling Coach Chris Vondruska, who joined us. And we thank you for dialing in. It's our weekly wrestling recap brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Ohio Family Realty. We're glad to bring it to you each and every Thursday night right here on AM 930 WEOL. On your phone, download the WEOL mobile app. It's a great way to listen. And you can also dial in online at WEOL.com.